What's up, Clint? How y'all doing, man?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at three. Number one.
All right, the big story. This is the deadline. 3 o'clock is the cut down to 53 deadline, and there have been some notable names. We'll give those to you here just in just a second. And also, we will make sure to give you the latest on who has been cut as soon as we see that, you know, any new ones that start to roll through here at this point. But the notable ones that have made this list, there are some that are they're going on injured reserve and some that have been flat-out cut or released. And some notable ones, Charlie Heck, who has been on this team for a while, had the foot injury.
The old swing tackle.
Yeah, he has been released, and he has had an injury. Andrew Beck, Troy Hairston, the fullbacks on this team, they've been released. Ben Skoranek, Des King, been released. C.J. Henderson, one of the – we said him or Jeff Okuda, one of those two would probably not make it. And Okuda's been the one who's more injured and not been able to practice and play a lot, but – C.J. Henderson is the one that is cut, and it looks like Okuda has made it. And Okuda has looked better when he has been out there. He's made it. Mike Ford as well was cut also in that secondary. Tegan Quatoriano was released or waived, excuse me. He is injured with that calf situation from the first preseason game. But Clint, I think the one that at least has surprised us and others, and we'll talk to our guy Jonathan Alexander coming up an hour or so from now, get his thoughts if he was surprised or caught off guard. And that is the release of veteran wide receiver Noah Brown, who they signed in the offseason to bring back. That one for me, we talked about receivers a lot. We talked about 6'7". Hell, we did a segment yesterday. One got to go. Is it Mechie? Is it Hutchinson? Or is it Robert Woods? And none of them left. But I don't think, at least I didn't account for the one potentially having to go being Noah Brown. I understand he's been injured, but he seemed to be somebody that they wanted to bring back and someone who had separated himself from those other guys in that four spot.
Yeah, look, I mean, it seems like if you look at you know, all the different layers of a player getting cut, it's all the signs pointed towards Noah Brown keeping his job and being the fourth receiver for this football team. I'll be honest with you, I thought in terms of getting cut or not, I thought he was as safe as hell, the top three wide receivers on this team. So this definitely caught me off guard. Noah Brown is a guy that when you needed him the most last year when other receivers were hurt, he came in and didn't just come in, but he had monster games, career-type games, 150 yards receiving kind of games, big plays across the board. He was a very, very valuable player last year. Whatever you paid him last year, he earned his money. So I thought from that perspective of what he's done in this offense for C.J. Stroud, for Bobby Slowick, for D'Amico Ryans, I thought for sure he was locked in. Then you look at his contract. I believe $3.5 million of the $4 million that they gave him this season for this year, I believe $3.5 million of it was guaranteed. So you're from a contract perspective, you don't make any money or save any money by cutting Noah Brown. When you talk about the injuries, you better add timing to that, because it just injuries in general doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You look at the last 3 years, he's been available 39 games. You look at the last 3 years for an aging player like Robert Woods, and Robert Woods has been available for 40 games. It's two in the same, other than Noah Brown was injured this year during training camp for a big chunk and wasn't able to do anything down the stretch. So this is a tough one for me to put my finger on. I don't believe that anybody on this team right now in this wide receiver room beyond the number three guy is going to bring to the table what Noah Brown has brought to the table in this offense last year in a critical run to the playoffs. I thought for sure he was in. Obviously, they thought different. I probably should just quit having thoughts on wide receivers, because it seems like D'Amico and Bobby Slowick and him keep getting these right.
For me, I don't know. I don't know if those guys can do what Noah Brown can. Is it possible? Absolutely. They all have talent to be able to come up with big plays and big games. I don't know if they can. But I do know Noah Brown can't.
Yeah.
And I'm just surprised that I'm just surprised that they decided to make that move and not potentially the move with Robert Woods, who cost more. They could have saved money to get for him to be gone. A guy as you just spoke about has been injured every bit as much as Noah Brown. It seems like neither one of them were ready for the last game of the season or either of the playoff games because of injuries. So I'm just surprised there is a guy that you know can do it when he's healthy in this system and with this quarterback and with this team, for guys that you don't know yet. But clearly they believe that the younger guys and Robert Woods can fill that void if needed.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly they do. But I mean, here's the thing: this is not a guy that just went out and played well, right? I mean, you gotta boil it down to playing the position, and there's layers to that, right? I mean, you trust that Noah Brown with very limited reps is going to know the offense like the back of his hand. You trust that Noah Brown with very limited reps is going to go out there and make himself available when there's pressure. He's going to be able to settle in voids when they play zone coverages. He did all that really, really well and then made big plays on top of it and showed that he had great chemistry with C.J. Stroud. And so, you know, that seems like something, it's an NFL receiver, he should be able to do that. Well, we don't know. I know Robert Woods can do that. Can he do it at the level that Noah Brown did it? I mean, different body style, but yeah, I trust he's going to know the game and has a great feel for the game, understanding for the game, obviously. Does Mechie and Xavier Hutchinson bring that? We have no idea. I wouldn't gamble on them being as long in the tooth or as mature or experienced in the game or in this particular offense as Noah Brown was, but clearly the powers that be over there feel comfortable with it. I'm not overly worried about it. I'm taken aback a little bit by Noah Brown. I thought for sure he was on this football team.
Two more. Kurt Heinisch, short-term injured reserve, so he's going to miss 4 to 8 weeks, somewhere in that area, one of those two, as he's being placed on short-term IR. And then the other one, Texans are placing quarterback Case Keenum on IR ahead of the cut deadline. He will actually miss the entire 2024 season. And that's interesting because they did release Tim Boyle, who had been the fourth quarterback in camp, and currently they just have C.J. Stroud and Davis Mills as their quarterbacks on the roster right now, which makes sense. But we'll probably see that they'll add, maybe they'll try to get Tim Boyle back, add, you know, a third guy that can be an emergency quarterback because they have that rule now, have a third guy. There's
so many guys. Like, I mean, there's a third of the league is running this offense.
Yeah.
Some variation of this offense. And so, I mean, when it comes to bringing in an emergency quarterback and having him on this team, and to some degree, now I know the NFLPA just vetoed the whole being able to bring up a quarterback at any point in time, unlimited number of times off the practice squad. They vetoed that to keep him from stashing quarterbacks on their practice squad, whatever. The adults in the room always screw things up, right? I would imagine that the Texans would you know, look around the league and the 10 or 12 or more teams that are running this offense have really handpicked the top, you know, a quarterback from the top three guys that are available and have them in the system throughout the year, paying those guys to be here and know the system and be ready just in case something happens. The Case Keenum thing is really a non-factor. I mean, it's Case is
his value that he adds, his greatest value he adds is going to be on full display now.
Absolutely. You can argue he brings more value to the table when he doesn't have to worry about practice every day, when he's not running scout team every day. He can just go out there and literally be an assistant essentially to Gerard Johnson, the quarterback coach, or Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, whoever he wants to shadow, he can essentially do that, and he is a serious value to C.J. Stroud and company on this offense. So I don't have concern at all about Case Keenum. Hate to see it. I hate to see him, you know, in this particular contract this way. You don't ever like to see anybody have to go through this kind of rehab crap. It's never fun, but as it pertains to the Texans, I think the same value will be there with Case being yep. being in the building.
Yep, he'll be the as you said, mentor, eyes on the side, somebody that CJ can come to talk to often, and Davis often when they come over to you.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, this has been kind of going around about the last couple of hours that the Astros are close to signing veteran outfielder Jason Hayward, who was released by the Dodgers. Apparently, we're waiting to hear if this is official, but multiple people have been reporting this, that they're close, many of the beat writers, national people as well. Now, Hayward, his slash line, it fits right on in. He's hitting .208, .289 on base, .393 slug with 6 homers, 28 RBIs in 63 games with the Dodgers. But, I mean, still a good defensive outfielder and has some pop and has seen it all and played in all these spots. I know Tyler, as soon as he saw, was getting nervous because he thinks – What does this mean for Kyle Tucker?
Yeah, not like overly nervous. I'm not like jumping to that conclusion and saying that's why this move is happening and why they're pursuing him. But, I mean, the guy has played a lot of right field. So it entered my mind while this guy is still MIA with his broken shin.
Yeah. I could see how someone would get to a space of like this could have something to do with Kyle Tucker, I could get that. To me, it's more of like Chaz.
Oh, it's a Chaz move all the way.
Yeah. You know, the other, yeah. like the other guys, like, oof. I mean, hell, man, they went and got Ben Gamel. They've just thrown a lot of, like, you know, Cabbage. Is he still up here? I think he's still up there. Cabbage, all those. I think this is more potentially on them. Even though as I kicked off the show, it is day 85 for Kyle Tucker, I just can't believe this is going to end his season. Right. And that ain't the answer. And by the way, so Cabbage is still in Sugar Land.
I believe that's the latest. Yeah, 5 days ago.
I can't keep up with who's all up there and down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, dude, I don't fields. Blame you. This year is wild.
But I think it's more of a Chaz thing, more of a those other outfielders. Not anticipation of not having Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, I mean, Dubon got hurt in the outfield on the day before a game when you would like to have had him to fill in for Altuve. Chaz McCormick is obviously struggling mightily. The Tucker thing, I think probably just the absence of him and needing so many outfielders. All that stuff, I think, plays into it. And look, while he's had a rough year this year in 63 games, he put up some good numbers last year. I know he's an aging player. I'm not trying to sell an aging player as an all-star all of a sudden, but he hit .270 last year with 15 home runs and had an .813 OPS. He had a good run last year. And being a veteran, you got to believe that he can weather the storm of a rough 63 game stretch a lot better than the way Chaz McCormick appears to be handling his rough stretch of baseball here.
Yeah, so, this to me, I would be floored if this has anything to do with Kyle Tucker. By the way, the lineup tonight, as we'll look at yesterday's game here in just a bit, but the lineup tonight, Altuve back in it. He did pinch hit last night, but back in the lineup at second base. Bregman is at third base again with Alvarez as the DH. Diaz at catcher, Singleton at first, Pena at short, Gamel in right field. Myers in center, and good to see Dubon back in left field as he is going to be able to play in tonight's game.
Big 3-3, number 3.
Ground ball, pass to diving Altuve into right field, being waved around Kyle Schwarber. Here comes the throw, not in time. Phillies walk it off. Bryce Harper wins the game at 3-2. With a walk-off single just past the diving attempt of Jose Altuve.
Some tough losses on this road trip for the Astros. Add this one to the list.
All right. It was a tough loss. It was a great game, a great baseball game to watch, but a tough loss last night. Ronel Blanco looked pretty good in his time out there, which is a good sign being where he has been since he's been kind of getting up on that, surpassing that innings limit that he has thrown. So he looked good there. It was just a tough loss, man. It seemed like it came down. The Phillies made big plays defensively in the 10th. Bryce Harper making a big play down the line, and then the center fielder with the diving catch that could have given them the lead when Diaz tried to poke one into center field. And then they were able to come up. It kind of comes down to it, right? The Astros get a ghost runner at second, and they got Bregman, and they got Alvarez coming up and Diaz coming up, and they don't get a run pushed across. And then when you look up, you got Bryce, you got Trey Turner, you got Bryce, you got Bohm coming up, and they're able to push the thing across. So, I mean, it seemed like it really came down to that, but a great baseball game. But they lose that opener 3-2.
Yeah, look, great baseball game, and another one of it just seems like every loss recently has been one of those that's just a nail-biting type loss, playoff-caliber type loss. And look, these are – I don't like to lose. I don't like to lose. Would you say they've lost 5 of 8 or something like that in
this stretch? Yeah, they're 3-5 in the 8 games of this 14-game stretch.
So I mean, I don't like to lose those. But I'm going to tell you, as a fan, it's real easy for me to look up and say, man, Alvarez missed 3 games. Bregman missed 5 games. Altuve's missed 2 games recently. Obviously, Tucker's missed 85 days. Boy, if you're playing and losing some tight ball games like that, it's hard to think that those guys being in the lineup all together and more consistently wouldn't change the game. Don't like losing, but it's a little easier to stomach when you feel like you look at last night. I mean, 2 of your top 3 bats weren't in the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and you stayed with one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah. So I'm not an excuse. I'm not looking for what do they call them?
Excuse makers?
No, the wins. You know what I'm looking for? Damn, yeah, Ron. Let me down, man.
It's lost in my head. Moral victories.
God
same
dang,
time.
Man.
Jinx.
Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate the help in there, bud.
I was working on your podcast, bro.
I couldn't reel it in. Couldn't get it in and hit us at the same time. I was so racing to try to get.
Not looking for that here. Not looking for those here at all, but I tell you, these with a little bit of a lead in the division and being down at times, hell, 3 of your biggest bats, but you know, two of your biggest bats and playing with these playoff caliber top teams in the league, division leaders in the league, it's tough to be disappointed, especially when they go down like they went last night. That was a playoff caliber vibe, boys.
That's what it felt like. Text line, Ron, can you answer why Hader was brought into a game that was tied? Because you could lose it in the 9th. You could lose it. You want to bring your best guy in right there to hold it there on the road. Some people, I get the thought of some people like, hey, you can still get a save with that. I think the thought would be, we'll go 2 innings if I have to,
yeah,
which he ended up doing. But, I mean, that's like you could, in the 9th inning, you could lose the game, and I'm with him. I'm all right if I lose with Hader on the mound in the 9th inning. If he's up, I'm all right with it.
The fact that he can go to gives you a different, little different approach. But it's tough when a game's tied versus when you're down one versus when you have a little bit of a lead. I just love the fact that Hader's willing to go multiple innings.
Yeah. All right, coming up, we'll once again fill you in on any of the names that may trickle out here over the last couple of minutes. And we're getting close now. We look like we see what the Texans team is going to be. And we got to discuss how we're feeling about this thing now. Now it looks like the 53 has come together. We'll discuss that coming up next.
I'm a big fan of D'Amico.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, looks like the 53 is set. This season is rolling, is getting ready to be to move towards the regular season portion of it. Camp over, training camp over, preseason over, and now getting started on this quest to get to places the Houston Texans have never ever been in their team history, which is certainly on the table. As we said, major names, at least the top names there that have been released. Noah Brown, C.J. Henderson, Dez King, Ben Skowronek, Andrew Beck, Charlie Heck. Those are some of the top names that that are moving on, not going to be on this roster, at least at this point right now. All right, there was a certain feel that I think people had coming into training camp, into the offseason, as we've rolled through preseason and all that. We've been able to see so much of this team, four preseason games, really two, but four preseason games, and we've seen a lot of this team. The question I have for you, the people, 713-572-4610, you can text in. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this as well. Right now, do you feel better about the Texans after training camp? From what you've learned, what it looks like, what we've seen, and what we have together, understanding everything, do you feel better about the Houston Texans after training camp?
Oh, that's easy for me, absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, Stephon Diggs, a lot of the unknown around him, let's be honest, a lot of the negative rep that came with him, whether it was fair or foul, it came to Houston with him from Minnesota and Buffalo. That was put to bed rather quickly. And let's be honest, it was put to bed rather convincingly with how he has not just shown up every day and been one of the hardest working guys on the team, but he's also a mentor, a willing mentor for several young players on his football team. The obvious awareness of how important having great chemistry with C.J. Stroud is obviously present with him. So that's all for me. That's all put to bed, at least for this year. This number two in training camp, Kamari Lassiter was a major, not just a we'll see what happens, but was a major concern for me. Second round rookie getting handed the job without a whole hell of a lot of competition with an organization that has screamed nothing but competition from the general manager to the head coach to all the position coaches. It seemed like Kamari Lassiter was just handed the job. And throughout training camp, I think to be completely fair, he has done a very, very solid job for a corner opposite Stingley. And if we take into consideration that he's a rookie, he's been really, really, really good opposite Derek Stingley. We'll see what happens in the regular season with this tough schedule, with these quarterbacks that are on this schedule. See if they start taking shots at him. We'll see what ends up happening down the stretch. But when it's all said and done, those two things I think were.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
You're doing good, man. I was into it.
You were?
Yeah, I was. I was ready to pass.
It's all right. Just had a promo in the mix that y'all just interrupted.
And I feel bad because it was. That was promo worthy.
Well, I mean, a good leader that knows that would have said, hey, hang on to that for a second.
Sorry, this is
not for this news.
This is important. What's the breaking news, Tyler?
This is coming from Texans insider Aaron Wilson. Texans, they are placing linebacker Christian Harris on the injured reserve due to a calf injury. Sources say he can be designated for a return per league source. Again, that's Aaron Wilson with KPRC2. Christian Harris, the linebacker, he is going to the IR.
This had been a concern if he was going to be ready for week one, and this is at least 4 weeks now if he's going on injured reserve. So Christian Harris, if you just missed it as Tyler came through, he is going on injured reserve with this calf injury. Clint, we had not seen him most of camp. He came out one day in which they weren't even in pads and came off the field gingerly, and we hadn't seen him since. And this is a big blow. This is a big blow to this team and a lot of the things that they want to do at that linebacker position. And really, it really just sucks for football fans because this dude seemed like he was ready to take a step of big time. I remember Indy Kalu came in here and said he thought he would be all pro level like this year, Christian Harris. So he is out on IR, and we talked to D'Amico ourselves, and he said Henry Toa is going to be the next guy up. It's what he told us there, and it looks like he's going to be there. But Christian Harris, a big blow week one against the Colts, and probably at least the next 3 weeks after that as well.
Yeah, you'd like to have him available. That's for damn sure. But look, the fact that he tried to give it a go mid camp, couldn't even make it one practice was very telling. Clearly, whatever the injury is worse than expected, and the rehab is gonna take a little bit longer than expected. And so this really is not much of a surprise given what
not
we've seen
surprise,
from
no.
Christian Harris. I'd have felt better about Christian Harris had we never seen him. But the fact that he came out, tried to go, didn't make it one entire practice tells you, boy, that's a tough. Now you got to be even more patient with it. Now you're even more concerned when it does come time to let him loose. You're even more concerned because the last time you thought it was okay to let him loose, he didn't even make it a practice. So hate to not have that guy, and hate to hear that we're going to miss him for a brief period to start the season. But shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody.
Not a surprise, but obviously a clear hit. Henry Toa, I think he's improved from last year, but I don't know about you. Still, there weren't like major flashes of like, hey man, this cat's a different player than he was before. Sometimes I think Phillips would kind of jump off the page a little bit more when we'd see him in practice in the game. So.
Well, you're just not going to have anybody right now at the linebacker position, at least out of the top two guys, and even Aziz to this point, to be honest with you. Him and Toa, downhill,
thumpers,
physicality, yeah. I think they're going to be fine. I think for the most part, you can protect them in scheme in the pass defense. We're talking about week one against the Colts. What you're really going to miss is having that one dude at the linebacker position that you feel like has a really good chance in the open field against an explosive quarterback.
Yep.
You know, it's one thing to see Jonathan Taylor downhill in your face all day, but when Jonathan Taylor is hitting you in the chin, and all of a sudden a quarterback that can go 4-4 even faster, that's big, that's elusive, when he pulls the ball out of his belly and he keeps it around the end, you got to have a guy that's special to go get him. And Christian Harris is that guy that gives you a chance. Now, Jalen Petrie will give you a chance. You have to bring the safeties down and play them a little bit lower. They'll give you a chance, but that linebacker position, Christian Harris was the guy.
Yeah, tough blow for the Texans, and potentially as we're seeing these moves and cuts, maybe there's a linebacker, potentially a linebacker that they are looking at to try to pick up and sign of guys that may have been released from these teams. So. That's a brand new thing right there. Christian Harris placed on IR. He's going to miss multiple weeks to start the season for the Houston Texans. Really tough blow there. Coming up, we'll catch you up on that as well and get the latest on that. And my man Chaz McCormick, boy. Guys, he's in a rough place. If you've not heard some of the things he said about himself, you do not want to miss that. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the news that just has broken. The Texans are placing linebacker Christian Harris on IR due to a calf injury. This is according to Aaron Wilson.
Oh, God!
He can be designated to return later on in the season. But it's going to be at least 4 weeks that he misses with that calf injury. And as Clint said on the other side, this is no surprise. Hell, we've only seen him one time in training camp, and he didn't even make it through an entire practice. He limped off there. So no surprise, but still a major, major hit. And listen, a lot of people have opinions, and I'm into allowing everyone to have opinions. Some opinions are just bad. From the text line, Christian Harris is the offensive equivalent of Noah Brown at this point.
What are we doing? Emotional knee jerk? Like what is that?
They're good
you
when
can't
they
can't think that
when they make
good
it
God.
On the field, but can't seem to stay healthy. Got to start looking at the future eventually after this year.
Puck to and spit on that thing.
I second Tyler. You just can't believe that. You just can't believe that. Noah Brown is the equipment. Noah Brown was the fourth receiver, we thought. Christian Harris is easily the most talented linebacker on this team. I mean, easily. And listen to his head coach, who said he's the most talented linebacker he's ever worked with. And he's worked with Fred Warner.
Greg Greenlaw.
He's worked with it. Azeez, next to him, didn't believe him until he started practicing with him and playing with him and said, whoa, you're right. Like, this was a, this is the dude that was stopping Lamar Jackson in the playoff game in the first half. Now, we want to talk about the second half, but he was stopping Lamar Jackson in the playoff game. This is not Noah Brown. Let's reel that one in, guys. Also, the text line, very light on talent in the linebacker room. We got to get dogs on the D-line and the defensive backfield. But the linebacking core is messed up. I don't know about messed up, but I do think they're probably looking around to see who's been cut, maybe looking around to see who could be traded for. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they added something to that linebacker room. Because you're right, like right now, they got two thumpers that are probably going to be starting. But boy, teams try to get running backs and guys in coverage on those guys, you know, guys in routes and making those two guys cover, that could be problematic for the Texans. So I would imagine they're probably hunting or looking for guys that could maybe be a little bit more athletic, more speed version of the linebacker instead of thumpers. I feel like they got two mics right now in the
middle. Yeah, it's the thing is in today's game, with like we're in that age of where your linebackers are kind of changing form. You got some old heads that are sticking around that are thumpers. You got some middle of the field guys. You've got these athletic freaks like Christian Harris that are taking over the linebacker space. And those guys that are middle of the road and freaks obviously aren't going to be put on the streets. And so you're going to have to do more with less. You're going to have to just overcome some of the deficiencies at the linebacker position with scheme. And if you're going to do that, you better have somebody like D'Amico Ryans to get it done. So I think you're right, Ron. If anybody pops, hell yeah, they I would think that they're going. I would think the Texans are on that guy's short list, and I would think that guy would be on the Texans' short list if there is a backer that becomes available. However, that happens. But I would imagine that the thought right now is D'Amico's just going to do more with less, and if he has to cover up those deficiencies with scheme, it's just what you got to do.
Yeah. So
up the middle, woo! Look out now. Coming into this camp, you got some real question marks about the D line, interior D line, and some big Christian difference Harris. Makers. Now you lose Christian Harris. Man, that's tough right there in the middle.
Lose Christian Harris.
Lose D'Amico Autry.
And D'Amico Autry for six.
You lose, and not that Heinisch was going to be a game changer per se, but he was definitely going to be part of the rotation. So you're down another number. Yeah, it's thin in the middle right there, man.
Yeah, it is. All right, I'm looking at this. Hey, fellas, listen. I know it hadn't been going well for Chaz, but it's one thing when you see it, and then when you hear the kind of maybe pressure and everything the person's putting on himself, he is in a bad place, fellas. Bad place. This is coming from The Athletic and Chandler Rome. He said, "I'm disappointed in myself. I feel like I've let the team down." Let coaches down, let my teammates down, and that's the toughest part. But it's not over yet. I just have to take it like that. It's not over yet. I have to keep grinding. He goes on to say, and this is quotes from Chaz McCormick, I have to do it myself. I'm the one effing going out there. I love the advice, and everyone's been trying to help me, but it's been 6 months. I need to go out there and stop being a bitch.
Wow, dude.
I mean, I'm feeling for white boy Chaz McCormick more than ever right now. Like that's real human stuff right there. That's real life stuff.
Like he is in a place, man. Well, I mean, I wonder what his evenings are like.
A couple things, Ron. I mean, hell, let's be honest. That's exactly what his at-bats look like. That's exactly what it looks like when he's out there. And this coming from the president of the fan club, man. I mean,
this is not good.
It's a tough watch. It's not the defeated look that Jake Myers has when Jake is struggling. But it is the obvious, like, effort frustration level with him. And look, I'll be honest with you. This right here, these words, Ron, I don't like to hear it. I hate he's going through it. But this white boy Chaz stuff right here.
He said, stop being a B, huh?
Hey, that, I mean, I would, my guy, when my guys are struggling, that's what I got to do it my damn self. I'm the one going out there. Appreciate all the advice, y'all. But damn, I got to quit being, it's been 6 months, man. 6 months of advice. Y'all ain't came up with the answer yet. I appreciate it, but I got to do this my damn self. So that, I mean, that's the mentality that I'd want my guys having.
I think him and Damian Pierce need to go out to dinner.
That's a good point.
And just go pour. Do you feel like Damian Pierce would read that?
I don't know if they
that?
Need to go to dinner. I think they need to go to.
That is a
to,
great.
Well, I was going to say start
need to
at
go
dinner.
To one of them. Yeah. Well, yeah. Start at dinner. That's good.
It's a great cross like, sport comparison. Like, I feel like Damian's in a similar place.
I wonder if Damian read that and said, "Damn, boy, you ain't lying.
Let's go get some drinks, bro."
Damian's like, it's been 6 months for you. Hell, it's been a good 13, 14 over here. But it's crazy. Like, I can't imagine what, like, in his mindset of, I came off a career year last year. Like, MLB now had the top 10 center fielders. I was in the top 10 center fielders. I had, as Clint has said, one of the best OPSs on the team. Like, I was I didn't think about if I'm in the lineup.
He had
one of the best
OPSs in the American League, top three in the American League.
Come at me about white boy
center fielders.
There wasn't no thought. Am I in the lineup today? Hell yeah, I'm in the lineup today. It's just where. I mean, I thought I was mad last year because maybe Dusty liked me, maybe he didn't.
Feed me banana pudding.
Give me that banana pudding. Well, but now, man, he has got to be pressing. And when I thought about Damian, it's just like he's got to be saying the same thing that Damian Pierce is thinking. Like, they have to have, when he gets up to the plate, just like when Damian Pierce lines up in the backfield, there has to be so much going on in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
It will not be.
And you said the way his at bats are going, that's what it looks like. That he's telling himself, I mean, a swing and a miss, I bet he's probably.
He's beat.
Probably beating himself
so bad.
Up.
Yep.
Man, it's
not ideal.
Chazzy's going to Sugar Land, man. Before Sugarland's done,
you think that'll help?
Yes. Yeah, he needs to go get he needs to go get every day at bats. I mean, there's no way, like the whole rotating in the outfield and then late in the game you get pinch hit for and you know like that ain't coming out that way. He's not gonna get it. He needs to go to Sugarland, get his mind off this. Get don't matter if it's a left handed pitcher or a right handed pitcher. Get every day at bats. Get four or five at bats every damn night. And see if you can pull yourself out of this funk.
Does he need to go to the Abreu League?
I don't care where he goes. He needs everyday.
Like what you just said, this sounds like Abreu.
Off the glove of Abreu.
Like in terms of how much people were saying Abreu was beating himself up and how much it was and the guys love him. You kept saying he need to go somewhere and get away.
Yep.
Just take a vacation.
Yeah.
Maybe send him to Corpus.
Cool. Maybe
we got a little funk.
Get on the water.
Yeah, get on that water down there, man.
maybe he should have been there with Tyler this weekend.
I'd have showed Chaz a good time.
Say, Chaz, man, why don't you come on down with us, man?
Play some golf. Let's float the river and drink some beer and talk about it, bro.
Chaz, get this weekend series off, man. Let him go on.
I'm a great listener. Hit me up.
Oh, you know, you ain't lying. Chaz probably just needs somebody to just sit there and listen.
Right here, bro. I'm not going to call you Chazzy Fizzle, but I'll listen.
Like, I bet you he got a lot of stuff he want to get off to his chest. I don't know if there's a young lady who's having to take this every night.
Probably.
I mean, take his words, not it, every night.
Not like good hate in a sec, you know.
I bet he would be aggressive right now.
Like when you first get in the sack after you've had a fight, nothing like it. Everybody enjoys
you
that
argue
one.
With your old lady.
Mm-hmm.
It must be nightly for him.
Yeah, right now Chaz is hate sex and his lady all the time.
If she's not crazy, he's not.
That man told a reporter, man, it's been 6 months. I need to go out there and stop being a bitch.
Sounds like something I would say.
Like, yeah. I mean, like, I feel like you would say that to us.
Yeah.
I feel like if
Jason, I just had a bad show today, guys. I just got to stop being a bitch.
I think if Jason Barrett came and did the interview with you to try to get us to the top 27, I bet you would use it. But he said, "No, man, I got to stop being a B, man.
That's real.
Praying for you, man. I don't know if Sugarland will do it, man. I think that might take him even further. Lay down a bunt, man. Do something, man.
He got an infield hit, stole second base, and won a damn game, and he still didn't pull him up out of it.
Like, I know it, man. I just, like, I'm like reading this, I'm wondering what he does every day when he comes in, and like, does his head drop when he sees he's not in the lineup? Does his head, like, does his head drop? Ben Gamble, damn.
How many guys they gonna bring out of nowhere and get
like what do you think? What do you think this Jason Hayward news is doing for him right now?
No, he knows.
He's probably torn up. He's probably taking a bat and torn up a Gatorade bucket.
No, he's checking apartments in Sugarland.
Or he's sitting on the couch with a huge tub of banana pudding.
He could just stay in the same
place. That was a problem. See, we talked about that with Bray. Like, that's a good thing about the Florida conflict. He needs to get up out of that damn bed.
He needs to move.
Whole different bed.
Move from downtown everything. To Sugarland.
Yep, go out to Sugarland, man. Get you one of them old spots that's on the outskirts of town.
I know, man. He tossed a visor like Steve Spurrier never did when he saw that Jason Hayward news come through.
I like to think he's like the Nutty Professor, and he just eats his feelings. So he's got a big old tub of banana pudding, and he's just at his flat, just sitting on the couch, probably watching tape.
With sprinkles. I think he's trying to change it up. I think he's eating cheesecake. He's
calling Dusty and former managers and stuff, seeing if they can give him any advice. Are you seeing anything in my swing?
I bet you ain't called Dusty. All right, what you got?
All right, it's cut day in Houston, and look, I've been down this road before. This is an awful day for a lot of guys, but there's two different players that have been released, not unexpectedly, but where I think that leaves the Houston Texans offensively could be a beautiful thing. I've been asking for this since training camp started, really since this particular player got here. I'll give you a hint, Rhett Lashley's guy out of Miami. I've been asking for this, and I don't know if it was done purposefully or not, but it looks like what I've been asking for could potentially happen, and it could happen week one against the Indianapolis Colts. I'll tell you who that is, and we will discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
I don't know what goes into sausage.